the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 20th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Iowa's handling of the coronavirus response has received criticism at times. A watchdog organization now says it's fair to question some of the moves, but adds there's a lot to consider. Suzanne Benke of the investigative news group Iowa Watch says one of her biggest questions centers around protecting workers at meat plants.
I'm very curious myself about the personal protective equipment being available to those workers. Oftentimes they are underrepresented populations in our state.
A new report from the Associated Press says state regulators delayed in responding to complaints of workers at a meat plant being exposed to COVID-19. Meantime, reports of child abuse in New Hampshire to the Division of Children, Youth, and Families has been down nearly 50% over the last 8 weeks. Experts are certain that isn't because abuse has evaporated during the pandemic lockdown.
With school now online and after-school programs on hold, Joy Barrett with the Granite State Children's Alliance says most kids no longer have the one-on-one time with teachers, coaches, and school nurses who are the number one reporters of potential abuse.
In light of the fact that children are now at their home, many of whom are living with their perpetrator, they're not at a safe place to make that disclosure.
She notes that referrals to New Hampshire Children's Advocacy Groups for treatment of children who have been sexually abused also are down by two-thirds during the pandemic. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The website Know and Tell features tips on how to spot abuse and how to make a report. And our Mike Bowen reports the pandemic is a special concern for anyone dealing with chronic health issues, including students. In Minnesota, school nurses are trying to help with gaps and looking ahead to eventual reopening.
Tom Stinson, a licensed nurse at Harding High School in St. Paul, says before classrooms closed, he would see roughly 40 students a day with needs ranging from injuries to helping with diabetes management. Stinson worries that some of those needs aren't being met right now.
I mean, there's kids that I would see every day, two or three times a day, that I might get a chance to talk to them every couple weeks. So you lose that, even though you have the built-in relationship that you had prior to distant learning, it's hard to carry that over into distant learning.
He says some students simply don't respond to outreach efforts. Despite the barriers, he's sending emails, making phone calls, and arranging secure virtual meets for those in need of a follow-up. Stinson says at-risk students face particular challenges. Either distance learning continues and they don't get the help they need.
Minnesota now faces a $2.4 billion deficit, prompting concerns about the ripple effect school budgets will see in state and federal funding. This is PNS. These days, many folks find themselves feeling grief, anxiety, or depression, and experts say mental health issues from the COVID pandemic are not unlike those seen during natural disasters.
Cody Kingsley of the state's Department of Health and Human Services says in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence in 2018, trained crisis counselors provided emotional support to more than 200,000 residents of coastal counties. Now the helpline, called Hope for NC, is available to people in all 100 counties. While becoming infected still remains a concern, Kingsley says the psychological effects of isolation and financial stress can't be ignored.
You are an older person who is already relatively isolated, but had your one thing that you did every week that helped you connect with community, and now that's gone. You know, in the end, what I think is really core for us to know is that behavioral health is not an add-on.
He adds counselors are trained to help individuals normalize their experiences during the pandemic, get access to additional resources, and build resiliency. The Hope for NC helpline number is 1-855-587-3463, and it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Nadia Romlagan.
And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is taking a look at the issue of whether a county can prohibit registered medical marijuana patients on probation from using their approved medication.
Last September, Lebanon County announced that people under community supervision, like probation or parole, would be barred from using medical marijuana. But that policy was put on hold when three registered patients challenged it with a class action lawsuit. Sarah Rose with the ACLU of Pennsylvania says under the law, registered patients can't be punished for using legally prescribed marijuana.
The Medical Marijuana Act really controls what courts can do and limits their discretion to impose any sort of penalties based solely on using medical marijuana while on probation.
Supporters of the ban argue that people under supervision can use the drug if they can show it is a medical necessity. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Finally, with Memorial Day approaching, the country's veterans are at the forefront in many people's minds. Eric Tanoff reports.
Carmel Perez Snyder with AARP Oregon says the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs is a good resource to start with, especially when it comes to checking up on benefits. She says the agency also has a one-time fund to help families in need.
There is an Oregon Veterans Emergency Financial Assistance Program, and it's for veterans and their immediate family who are in need of emergency financial assistance.
There's more information for aid with mental and physical health on the AARP website. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.